There's a Sunday school teacher that's asking his class of, they're probably about 8 years old, what Easter was about. And one child raises his hand and he says, well, Easter's about, isn't that the holiday that we actually celebrate, you know, our independence and we have fireworks? And the teacher goes, no, that's not Easter. And so another child raises his hand and he goes, I think I know what it is. Okay, what do you think it is? Isn't that, like, don't we celebrate the fact that people work? No, although that's a holiday. That's a good one, but that's not the holiday. And one child all the way in the back says, I think I know. And the teacher goes, okay. And he goes, now, isn't that the story about Jesus? Like when he came into Jerusalem and didn't they lay down like palm branches and coats and he came in and they were all excited about it. But then the crowd kind of turned on him and next thing you know, he's hanging on a cross and that's not so good because, you know, he died. And I think the story goes like he died for like the sins of like everybody. And then what happened is they took him off the cross and then they put him in the grave. Right. Isn't that the story? And the teacher goes, yeah, a little bit more. Oh, yeah, I remember. Doesn't he come out once a year and if he sees his shadow, we have 6 weeks left to spring? Well, that's close to the story of Easter, right? Of course, we all know Easter is about resurrection, about the fact that God broke into human history and literally changed the course of human history. You and I both know and have experienced that people, when they leave this earth, they don't come back alive. And yet the difference of the Christian faith is simply that Jesus Christ did come back alive. It was a divine moment, a miracle upon miracle, that in and of himself, he raised himself from the dead. And we're talking about power that comes from a resurrection. Jesus' resurrection power is incredible stuff. That's right. Somebody's talking to me now. That's what, right? And then it is. It's just great stuff. Why? Because that same power that rolled the stone back, that Jesus came through the grave clothes, which was probably around 70 pounds of not only cloth, but all the spices on him, all through that, he came out of that. And what happened? He was victorious over death in the grave. And that gives us hope and excitement and encouragement. Hey, all I got to say is you folks got to come back every week, all right? All right. So the point is this, is simply that this resurrection power that was wrought through Christ some 2,000 years ago is power that is available to us today. There's this passage in Ephesians. I want you to read along as I read it. I'll read it and you just look along in the thing. It says, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Basically, what that passage is telling us is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that is available to those who believe. Do you believe in the power of the resurrection and what it can do in your life? The resurrection gives us hope, not only of a life to come. When we step out of this life into another life, not only do we step out with confidence knowing that Jesus accomplished something for us that we could have never accomplished for ourselves, but I'm talking about power to live life with every day, living resurrection power. Well, this morning we have some doors on stage. And by the way, gentlemen that came and built these doors, thank you, because if it was left to me, there would be no doors. Well, there'd be doors, but they wouldn't work, okay? So nonetheless, thank you, men, for constructing these. But I want to use these as an example to kind of talk about this resurrection power. Why? Because what happened on that morning, that first Easter, that resurrection morning, is that God blew the door off. See, you got to remember, the religious leaders of the day and the Romans, they thought, hey, we're done with this guy. He's caused a lot of havoc. He's caused trouble. You know, some people thought he was a blasphemer. They're like going, good, he's dead. Let's slam the door shut. It's about, well, between 2,000 and 3,000 pound rock that was rolled in front. That's a pretty sizable door, you know, and let's close this off. Let's be done with it. In fact, it was so despairing to his disciples that they were even nervous about the implications of it. They had no idea. They were cowering in fear. What had happened? The long-awaited Messiah, of whom we believe he was the Messiah, is dead. Now what? And so, as we are reminded of the story, as the women are approaching the tomb, the door is blown off. Where are the men? They're still shuddering in fear. They're disoriented, disillusioned. They're overwhelmed, to say the least. And yet the women, when they get there, with a hope that either the Roman soldiers that are around the grave or some other folks that might be able to assist them would somehow be able to get that stone far enough back so they could go in and add additional ointments and things to Jesus' body as an act of worship. And so when they get there, the door's open. It's open. And so this morning, let's talk about some doors that need to be opened in our lives. See, this first door is a door of love and forgiveness. It's a doorway. There's possibility for genuine love and forgiveness. You might remember October 2nd, 2006. There was a heinous act that took place in Lancaster County at the West Nickel Mine School. A 32-year-old man walked into that one-room schoolhouse and ordered the adults and all the male children out of the facility. And then what he did is he boarded himself in and he committed a heinous crime against 10 female children. And you will remember that when it was all said and done, 5 had lost their life. 5 were wounded. And it wasn't bad enough that that had happened, but when it was all said and done, the last bullet out of the man's gun, he took his own life. And you go, now that is a strange story to illustrate a door of love and forgiveness. But the story's not done. See, because that Amish community, those people of deep abiding faith in Jesus Christ, told the world, hatred is not an option for us. We must love. We must forgive. That's what Jesus taught us. In fact, do you know what the headlines of numerous newspapers were? It kept saying, beyond human comprehension. See, that is the power of the resurrection. You may not be able to love and forgive those people in your lives, but with the power of God, when you humbly submit to it and embrace what He offers, the net door of love and forgiveness can be opened for you. Some of you here are embittered. You have been holding back love too long. You have been hurt, marginalized, disenfranchised by people, and you are holding on to things that you need to forgive. You won't be able to do it by yourself. But what Jesus does through His resurrection is He offers us an opening. This door is open for you. Just like the Amish people said, we will not close the door of our hearts, but rather we will open it to love and forgive. You know what those Amish people did? Some 30 of them gathered and went to the funeral of the man that perpetrated heinous crimes against their children. Not only did they do that, but they loved on the wife and the 3 children that that man had left behind. And it says that one of the Amish men of the community sat there holding the father-in-law of the perpetrator as he wept for hours. See, that's love. That's forgiveness. Do you know that the Amish community, as of many, many months ago, collected over $700,000, came into their community? And do you know those people set up a trust for the 3 children of the perpetrator? My friends, that's beyond human comprehension. See, That's the power of the resurrection. To be able to experience love and forgiveness like you've maybe never experienced it before. Today, this day, Easter, March 23rd, 2008. Maybe you need to walk through the door and experience that kind of power in your life. The second door we have, quite honestly, I didn't build it, but I will tell you this, it was fun painting it. Because that wasn't really hard, okay? And but this door represents a doorway to freedom. Now, some of you are going, okay, that's not what that looks like. Well, that's true, because this morning in this room, there are many of us, we look free, don't we? We do. We come, we've dressed up this morning, and by the way, you all look great. But inside, you are not free. You are bound by vices, by controls of impulses that you have you enslaved. Some of you are enslaved to power. Some of you are enslaved to money. Some of you are enslaved to chemical dependency. Some of you are enslaved to bad relationships. Some of you might be enslaved to a computer terminal where you continue to look at images that you hate yourself about when you're done looking at them, but you keep looking at them. My friends, you're in bondage. And Jesus comes to offer you freedom. So if your heart may look like this, and there may be a chain across the entryway, and it may read caution and nasty all the way, but I'm telling you, the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not only did it change human history, but it can change the history of your heart. So will you allow this door to be open for you this morning? See, because His power can remove any chain. Any chain. Any chain. Will you believe it? And He offers a doorway through all of your stuff to enter the doorway to freedom. Freedom. Something that is possible. Not because you can muster it all together, but because you simply let go and believe. There are scores of thousands of people who have been through recovery opportunities, right? And they've experienced freedom to a degree. One of the things that I like about Celebrate Recovery here at Grace Chapel is we realize that recovery is a good thing, but apart from Jesus Christ, our recovery is really dependent on us. And what we are saying this morning is recovery is possible no matter what you're enslaved to. In fact, what's interesting is one of those celebrity magazines wrote an article and they were talking about all of the movie stars that were in recovery in some form or fashion in a clinic or whatever it was. And kind of in a very condescending, kind of sarcastic way, the writer of the article said this. He said, oh, maybe they need a higher power. Maybe right through all of that sarcasm and condescending verbiage, that man got it right. Because that's true. See, you can't do it alone. And so maybe this morning you recognize that you are enslaved to something and you want to experience freedom. Well, the power of the resurrection, and because Jesus came out of that grave, blew the doors off, He offers that to you and to me this morning. So this morning, will you walk through that door? Will you take a step of faith and say, I can't do it by myself. God, I need you to do it for me. And the last door that we have is the door to new life. Jesus is the door, scriptures tell us, in John chapter 10, verse 7. And He offers a doorway to Him. I remember when I was growing up, on numerous occasions, I don't know why, we should have probably marked the trails, but there were forest preserves really close to my house. And on numerous occasions, my brother and I would oftentimes get lost. Now, you would think we would learn something about it, but beside the point. On this one occasion that we got lost, we are sitting at kind of the trailhead, if you will, and then there's three basic trails. One goes this way, one kind of straight, and one goes off toward the left. And my brother, being the oldest, and, you know, of course, I'm the youngest, and so he's got to know everything, right? And so anyhow, he goes, it's this way. And so we head off, and we go, and I'm following him, and, you know, we go about 45 minutes, and all of a sudden we're going, you know, I think we've been here before. So he goes, okay, all right, it wasn't this way, so it's got to be this way. So we head off again on a journey, and we're just trying to get home. We just want to get home. And it's about an hour 10, I'm guessing. All of a sudden, we're going, we have been here before. He goes, it's got to be that way. Now, in my, you know, I'm not brilliant, but I'm going, well, duh, right? I mean, there's only one other option. See, in our culture, in our politically correct mentality, it would be nice for me to be able to say is, you pick any trail you want and you'll get to God. But my friends, it's not this way, and it's not this way, it's that way. See, Jesus Christ alone is more than sufficient to provide what you need to have a personal relationship with God. Apart from Him, you have no hope. So maybe this morning you are here, and in an act of faith, you need to recognize your brokenness and the inability you have to come to God on your own. I'm not talking about spirituality. I'm not talking about going to church. I'm talking about a living, personal, dynamic relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so maybe some of you this morning, you need to walk through this door to begin a new life. Now, you'll notice this door is a lot more narrow than the other doors, isn't it? And the reason being is Jesus tells us this. Narrow is the way. One at a time. You don't go in as a clan, and you can't ride on the coattails of someone else. One at a time. So you may have burdens and heavy things. You come to the door, and He will invite you across the threshold into a living relationship with God. But you've got a step. It's called faith. Will you believe that what Jesus did on the cross and through His resurrection, that power that blew the doors off of that grave, is more than sufficient to provide everything you need and I need to have a personal relationship with God? Well, maybe this morning, you need to, right where you're sitting, acknowledge that and say, Jesus, yes, You are the door. And this morning, by faith, I believe You and what You did for me. In just a couple of moments, we're going to pray. And I want to give you a heads up right now. As we close the service, you will be invited to leave. But some of you need to come up on stage. And you need to walk through one of these doors, because this day is your new day. This day. So it doesn't matter where you're at. No one's going to follow you. In fact, I'm not going to be out there going, oh yeah, somebody went through it. We're not interested. What we are interested is that you engage and encounter the risen living Christ. And so for some of you, maybe that's love and forgiveness, that you need to step through this door, through the doorway to a new day of loving and forgiving, leaving the old behind. And for some of you, maybe it's some kind of enslavement, something that you're overwhelmed, a hurt, a habit or hang-up that has you drowning. Admit it. You're going under. Would you ask for help? And so maybe what you need to do is come up on stage and just walk through it. Nobody's going to be on the other side saying, can we help you with what? No. Help is available here at Grace Chapel, but only if you ask. This morning, it's really all about you and Jesus. and embracing that resurrection power. And there may be some of you here that you've heard the story. I remember, when I was a kid, my mom would make me go to Sunday school. Man, would she make me go to Sunday school. Like every week. And it made no sense until that day, on June 3rd, 1980, when I was sitting on the edge of my bed. And it was that day that my life changed forever. So maybe you this morning need to walk through the doorway to a new life, leaving the old life behind and saying, Jesus, I believe you. I need new life. I'm not sure where you're at, but you are invited. It doesn't matter if you're a guest. This is the first time. It doesn't matter if you're from out of town. If you feel prompted, then you make your way when we close up to this stage and you walk through, because I want you to remember March 23rd, 2008. And I want you to remember that you stepped through a door trusting, humbling yourself to say, I trust you, Jesus, and the power that you offer me to help me today, right now, with what I'm facing. Let's pray together. Jesus, we stand amazed. The morning of that third day, you blew the doors off. Literally, you changed the course of human history. But more intimately, you have changed the course and possibilities for our hearts. And Lord, this morning, I pray for each and every one of us that are here, that we would not just go, this is an Easter service, let's go, let's have a good time. This is a family tradition. We have things to do this afternoon. These are all wonderful things. But Lord, just for a few moments, we would recognize that you can change the course of our heart. And so Jesus, like only you can do, I would pray that you would prompt and touch and prod those folks that need to come up on this stage. Lord, may they not worry about anything. Nobody's going to be looking. We're not interested in that. We're interested in people encountering your power. So may we come with humility. May we recognize your grace. Because you have offered us doorways to a new day. So we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Thank you for spending Easter service with us here at Grace Chapel. May you have a wonderful day. And if you need to, you make your way up. God bless you.